You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Last Friday, the State Water Project took the unprecedented step of cutting projected water allocations for its contractors to zero. And even irrigation districts that have senior water rights that date back to the early part of the last century are facing a sobering situation. And words like this from Congressman Jim Costa.
We have a 13% snowpack average, and there's just no water in the system right now.
While recent snow and rain has helped to clean the air, it's literally been a drop in the bucket when it comes to the severe conditions facing both urban and rural water users throughout the state. Here to talk more about the latest developments in this ongoing story, we're joined in our studio today by Kerman farmer Paul Betancourt, and we're also joined on the phone by Lois Henry, a columnist with the Bakersfield Californian. Welcome.
Hi, Joe.
This is one of the biggest stories we've seen in years, and the news doesn't seem to be getting any better. Paul, I want to start with you. You're a farmer in Kerman. You have almonds and other permanent crops, also row crops as well. What does this mean to you right now? What are you doing different this year that you would not normally be doing at this time in a normal year?
Actually, we were offered a contract for onions last week, and I couldn't take it because I can't be sure about the water supply. So for our operation, we're going to be about the same, but we invested in a well a few years ago, and that'll keep us going this year. But wells are really Band-Aids. They're short-term. We need a secure surface water supply.
Now, I understand that a lot of farmers who maybe didn't plan as far ahead as you did are trying to go to well companies, and they're facing waits of well into 2014, into the fall, if not later.
Yeah, they are way backed up. We're actually renovating an old well. They pulled the old guts out of the well in October, and they haven't put it back in yet. And every week I call and they go, oh, one more week. You know, last week it was 5 to 7 days and we still haven't seen anybody out there. So they are ramping up. The company we work with has bought new equipment, but they still can't keep up with demand.
Now, there was a story that came out not that long ago that some farmers, even with permanent crops, are actually pulling out their almond trees with the knowledge that they aren't going to have the water that they
right.
were counting on. Are you seeing that?
You're seeing huge cutbacks in row crops as guys pull out row crops to save their water for their permanent crops. Questionable orchards, old orchards that need to be replaced are getting pulled out ahead of time. The guy who cuts wheat for us, he's lost 70% of his contracts. So he's only going to have 30% of his income this year as people have cut back and not planted wheat fields because of the water situation.
Now, turning to Lois Henry, who's also on the phone with us now. Lois, you had a column last week in the Californian that talked about the changing nature of Valley agriculture and how permanent crops have become so much of a fixture in areas where maybe they weren't in the past. And you sort of took Valley farmers to task for doing that in an era where water has been such an uncertain thing in the state.
I don't know if I would say I took them to task. I just asked a question that seems to be getting a lot of attention, and that is whether moving to permanent crops in such a large fashion, because it's not just converting, you know, our existing row crops to permanent crops, which we did on a large scale, but also developing new ground into farmed permanent crops, and that happened on a huge scale. Between the years of 2006 to the present, when decisions were coming down in regards to the Delta that were restricting and restricting and further restricting water. So I just asked the question if that's sustainable given the reality of the water situation in a non-drought year. And, of course, in this year, you know, all bets are off. I mean, we're going to see stuff that we would never have thought that we were going to see, never want to see. So I just asked the question, and, in fact, I've been talking to a lot of the water district folks here over the years and have asked them that question numerous times, and I've been pretty surprised that some of the water district folks are saying the same thing, that yes, we are overextended, and it's on permanent crops, because permanent crops, as you know, they need water year-round. You can't plow them under 1 year and then bring them back, you know, spring them back up to production the next year. Anyway, and I was kind of surprised that these water districts have talked about this. And, in fact, Semitropic, which is one of our largest water districts down here in Kern County, has a program where they're buying land and fallowing it. To me, that was interesting and newsworthy. I've been a little surprised at the reaction up and down the state I don't think it's a sacrosanct kind of a thing to talk about, but some people have sort of approached me that way.
Well, I'd kind of like to get Paul's thoughts on this. You've seen the rise in permanent crops. You look at the annual crop reports for Fresno County, mm-hmm. Kings County, Kern County, and you used to see cotton at the top or near the top. Now you see pistachios, almonds, mm-hmm. grapes, these permanent crops that have been put in. What do you think? Is this a bubble that is bursting right now with this drought and the environmental water cutbacks in years past?
Well, when I got up here, there was a million and a half acres of cotton in the valley every year, and now we're down under 300,000-400,000 acres. So yeah, there's been a huge shift. Westlands Water District is buying land just like she was saying, Semi-Tropic is. And I got to raise the question too. I've got neighbors who've put in trees and don't have a water supply for it. That's not a good idea. That's going to get me in trouble.
But this is something that is a huge investment, and right. You're putting in an almond orchard. You're counting on how many years to get your money back, and that's term of investment is that?
You're
10,
making
20?
A 20, 30-year investment, and to not have a secure water supply is a little on the not-so-bright side.
I would like to say something in defense of the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, a lot of people are kind of angry about me saying these things.
Well, we'll give you a chance to do that then.
Go ahead.
I brought up the drought of the 1990s,
mm-hmm.
and I brought that up for a reason, and that was because so many people, environmentalists and various other people during that drought, said that farmers in the Central Valley were being very irresponsible by growing low-value, high-water crops, alfalfa and cotton being amongst the two that were named, and forage, you know. And so the Central Valley switched things up, and they said, okay, well, maybe we need to increase our water banking in Semi-Tropic and Kern County Kern Water Bank and Kern County Water Agency and the City of Bakersfield all started these water banking operations down here. And farmers said, all right, let's switch then. If we're only going to get so much water out of the situation and the environment is going to be taking more, well, let's switch to these lower water, higher value crops being grapes and pistachios and almonds. And so they did switch to something that was they thought was going to be more sustainable. But as the decisions have continued to come down out of Sacramento that, you know, just ratcheted that water down further and further and further, it became harder to bank the extra water that would come out in high water years so that they could sort of roll it out during the dry years and save their crops and keep those permanent crops going. And so it's sort of like they tried and the situation kind of changed underneath them.
Again, if you just joined us on Valley Edition today, we're talking with Lois Henry of the Bakersfield, Californian, and also Kerman farmer Paul Betancourt in our studio today. Paul, I understand from some people, or at least in some areas, and it might be different in certain parts of the valley, depending on the quality of the groundwater, but in some cases, trees like almonds may not like the groundwater, especially if it's of different quality. Is that a concern?
Yeah, I don't know of a place in the valley where the groundwater quality is equal to or better than surface water. That's why surface water is so important. And that's where a lot of people are asking questions about the drought, and I appreciate Ms. Henry's comments. This is a multi-year problem when it's going to take multi-year solutions. Because you've got to look at the long-range thing, investments in permanent crops. You have both mentioned the environmental restrictions over the past few years. And we can pump water and I can get through this year, but that doesn't solve the problem. I have a water quality issue, and even in a good year, we're overdrafting the aquifer. So we're just making the problem worse.
Lois, in your most recent column in the Californian, you're talking about some water districts and some of the innovative things that they're doing to cope with this situation, fallowing land and also exchanges of water at some extraordinarily high dollar amounts per acre foot that we haven't seen in the past. What are you seeing there?
Oh, I think we're just at the beginning of the innovative stage of what's going to happen here. And you're talking about the column I did on Buena Vista Water Storage District, which has Kern River rights. It gets state water, it has groundwater, and it has very, very substantial Kern River rights. And so they've been very lucky and had the resources and have been able to store up a lot of water. And so what they're doing is they're going to sell 12,000 acre feet of that water, which is nothing valley-wide. In Kern County, it's also kind of a drop in the bucket. But their proposal is to keep it within Kern County, to keep it to ag, and they're going to use the money that they get from that water to pay their farmers to quit farming for the year. on a voluntary basis. The idea is they're going to try and reduce the pull on the aquifer at the same time as they're going to sell some of their excess water to help their neighbors, which is very innovative and it's very interesting, and I applaud that. But then you get to the details, and it's $600 an acre foot. That's a lot for water districts. For ag, that's three times what you're going to pay regularly. And remember, these water districts are all still having to pay their capital costs for the state water project, even though they're getting not a drop of water. So, you know, they're really going to have to think, okay, we're already on the hook for this bill for which we're getting no water, and there's this possibility of this water over here from Buena Vista, but it is high. And not only that, Buena Vista is doing it on a bid. So the minimum bid price can be $600. What the top bid price is, we'll have to wait and see. So I kind of took them to task for that. I felt like, you know, look, you're offering to help out your neighbors, but it's kind of a little bit of price gouging, if you ask me. And then doing it via the bidding process sort of adds to a bit of desperation. You know, if your farmers really, really need it, you know, and you're going to bid for it, you're going to try and bid higher and higher. And I don't know that that's really all that fair. But I think that this is the beginning of what we're going to have to see in each different region and each different basin, is people becoming much more interdependent and probably much more innovative than we have been in the past.
Paul, what are you seeing on that front as far as water transfers, purchasing water on the market? I've heard that there's just no water out there for the most part,
right?
That even, you know, you name the price,
be
had.
And if we're talking $600 in January, what's it going to be in June? What's it going to be in July? What's it going to be in August? And it's still lost jobs. It's lost a local economy. It's lost tax base. So it's a drop in production. I had to go to a meeting in Kalinga a couple weeks ago. And you're talking about innovation. I saw people putting in drip systems all over the place. And mostly when we see drip systems, we think of permanent crops like vineyards or trees. Talking with these folks about putting these onions in, they were going to put in drip tape for 1 year. So there is going to be a lot of innovation. I was over in Israel in November, you know, and those guys are masters of drip because they have will about water. They're going to make it happen. You know, we sit here and dither about it.
Paul, farmers are generally averse to regulation overall. I think that's relatively safe to say.
You've noticed that?
I have heard discussion about one bit of regulation that may now have some support, at least from some in the agriculture community, and that's dealing with groundwater regulation, and not just groundwater quality, but quantity. If you're a farmer and you have that water under your ground as your backstop, and all of a sudden you go to pump it out of the ground and then it isn't there, or maybe you were banking water, as Lois mentioned, groundwater banking is big, big in Kern County right now. I've heard some talk about some farmers now being more willing to accept the state getting involved in regulating how people use their groundwater supply. Do you see that as being maybe an unintended consequence of this drought, Paul?
I'm hoping the unintended consequence is we get a bond passed soon. If you look at the California Constitution, farmers don't own the water under their land. It's owned by the people of California, and we're required to use it for reasonable, beneficial use. And that's a surprise to most people. What irritates me about what you're suggesting is they've taken away the surface water, and now they want to regulate the groundwater. You know, sooner or later, something's got to give. And the environmentalists are going to have to sort out what they want, because this has been driven by environmental policy. Now, what's the number one environmental concern? Climate change. What's the way to reduce that? Reduce your carbon footprint. What do they want? They want food grown closer to consumers. We got 30 million consumers within a few hundred miles of the Central Valley. We can do it. We just need some water to help these people lower their carbon footprints.
Paul, before we go, we just have a few seconds left. You mentioned the possibility that a water bond could be on the ballot in November. There's been all sorts of talk about that. The governor has been very coy about whether he supports that or not. Do you think that is likely, and what would you feel is necessary for you to support that and your fellow farmers?
Well, while I'm praying for rain, the fact is if it does rain, that all the concern from non-farmers goes away. So we actually need a good nasty drought for us to get to talk about a bond, because now we're talking not – you know, the farmers have been short of rain for a couple of years. Now we're talking cities on the east side not having water, cities up in the Bay Area not having water. This will catch people's attention. My concern with the bond as it is, it's really $3 billion worth of water projects and $8 billion worth of lard. You know, we can – let's get the water projects done. You know, even at $11 billion, it's, you know, not to open another can of worms, but it's better than a choo-choo. You know, you give me you give me $5 to $8 billion for water products, I can help everybody in the state of California. These guys want to spend $60 billion on a train that only a few people are going to ride. So I hope that the drought's bad enough so people stay focused on it and look at the long-term consequences of it.
That's certainly a topic for another program. Again, our guests today have been Paul Betancourt, a Kerman farmer, and also Lois Henry, columnist with the Bakersfield Californian. You can find her columns online at bakersfield.com. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for your interest.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.